Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, January 19th, 2015. And with me today, I have my own political advisors, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Hi.
The restraining order, Brian. The restraining
order. I'm a friendly fella.
Yeah. And that happy yet slightly awkward giggle would be Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
Hello.
Oh, I should have brought my voice. Hello.
It's and have a happy, ridiculous greeting Monday, everybody.
That's right. My hello included a very flamboyant bow while wearing tails and a proper swish and tip of my top hat.
Outstanding.
Excellent. Yes, because if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right.
Go big or go home, baby.
That's right. Hey, we have another sponsor this week, which I think is totally awesome.
Week,
it's Harry's, and they do razors, and I will be talking about them soon. But before we hop into that, I wanted to take a look at a piece you wrote on Friday, Brian, where you just laid it on the line about Xiaomi, which is being called China's Apple.
Yeah, some people are calling Xiaomi China's Apple, or the new Apple, or their new product, the Xiaomi Mi or Mi Note, the iPhone killer. I mean, God, I'm so this stuff just puts me on tilt. It just puts me on tilt. I mean, you know, we went through this for so long with Samsung, and before Samsung, everybody else had the iPhone killer, and it's never been the case. And it's not the case now with this company, especially with this company. I mean, Samsung has more claim to being the new Apple than Xiaomi, because Samsung does at least invent stuff. Xiaomi doesn't invent anything. Xiaomi's just a repackager and a company that sells products with no margins. And you know, their CEO was like obsessed with Steve Jobs and dressed like him and tries to do product announcements events like him, and they were copying Apple's industrial design for a while. I don't think the Mi Note particularly does, but they certainly have gotten their start by doing that. And it's just, I mean, copying Apple does not make you Apple. That's the thing. If you want to be the new Apple, you have to be making stuff, and you have to be disrupting new markets, and you have to be thinking differently about how we use technology and finding new ways for us to do things that we didn't even realize that we needed to do in the first place. And this the new Apple stuff, it just drives me nuts.
You know, I think this says a lot about how people perceive companies and the market in general, where they forget that to be like Apple, you actually have to innovate and you have to disrupt the market. It's not about mimicking someone's mannerisms or wardrobe or copying the look of a product.
Precisely.
Yeah, putting out a device that would sell better than the iPhone, which ain't going to happen. But even doing that wouldn't make you the new Apple. What would make you the new Apple? What would make you China's Apple is introducing the device that makes smartphones obsolete.
Yes. And I see Xiaomi doing that.
The next thing.
Of course not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even make their own operating system. I mean, all they're doing is packaging up Android like everybody else. You know, Samsung, for all of its sins and all of its copying and all of its delusions of software relevance, Samsung at least has made investments in operating systems. And I'm looking at you, Tizen, off in the corner doing nothing because no one really cares about you. But you know, at least they try. Xiaomi doesn't even do that. Just
well, Brian. While Brian breathes into a paper bag for a moment, I'll give you my two bits on this, which is, you guys are absolutely right. The thing that they need to, if they really want to be Apple, then they need to introduce the next smartphone, or even just not call their new thing the Note, which I thought, you know, at this point it feels to me like maybe Samsung has some right to be offended, which is just hilarious when you stop and think about it.
Yep.
So it's interesting to me, part of what, and I think, Brian, you touched on this in your piece, part of what is making them, part of what, how they are able to make any sort of noise is because people are paying attention to them because they're selling a reasonable number of devices. And the reason they're able to do that, having ripped off all this other stuff, is because China has virtually no IP protection, which is intellectual property. So Apple's never going to be able to take these guys to court in China and say, cut it out. And Samsung is never going to be able to take these guys to court in China and tell them to knock it off. And the, I mean, I think they're calling it the Mi, which is M-I-I, which is what you used to call your character on the Wii. And Nintendo is never going to be able to take these guys to court and tell them to cut it out.
It's
so,
a Mi.
Is that how they say it?
Yeah. But I don't know if they're calling it Mi or Mi, but it's spelled M-I.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought somewhere I'd seen it with two. So in any case, nobody's going to be able to get them to stop doing this in China. Now, we all know there are enough people in China. They could be a very successful, lucrative company in China and never have to leave.
They're not lucrative because they don't make any money on their devices. I mean, they could be. Profit.
Right, but they could be, even if they never leave China, they could still end up being a pretty sizable chunk of the worldwide mobile market, even if they never sell a device outside of their own country because they can't, you know, because they know they'll get sued. But it's going to be interesting to me to see how this evolves because, like you guys said, you know, if they really are that interested in being the next Apple, releasing something that looks familiar is clearly not how that's done.
No, that's how to be the next Samsung.
It is how to be the next Samsung. And that's who – it's Samsung is the company that's threatened by Xiaomi, not Apple.
Absolutely.
And this IP issue actually goes much deeper than any of the patent fights that Apple has had with Samsung. Because it also goes to the heart of the telecommunications industry, because Xiaomi isn't licensing a crap ton of standards and essential patents that they need to be licensing to play in the world global market. And
now, what you mean is paying for licenses for stuff so that they're able to sell these phones, which is what the rest of the world is doing, correct?
Yeah, hence licensing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I mean that these are costs into every cell phone you buy, every Samsung device, every HTC device, every Nokia device, Motorola device, Apple device. There are all kinds of monies that are exchanging hands behind the scenes for the rights to the technology that allows these devices to communicate on whatever network that you're on. And these costs can be they add up. And Xiaomi isn't paying those, especially outside the I don't know that they're paying anything inside China, but they're not paying anything outside China. They've already been kicked out of India over this. And it's just, I mean, I don't know, this company is just the original title for my piece, my working title was that Xiaomi isn't fit to carry Tim Cook's jockstrap. That's how I feel about it.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I know. It's inappropriate too, but it really drives me nuts.
Well, the sad thing is, I think that there are plenty of companies out there that will do just as Samsung has done, just as Xiaomi is doing. And they will hope that people look at them as the next Apple as well. But that also says a lot about Apple in that that's the company people are aspiring to. And you see this even outside of the smartphone and tablet and computer market, mm-hmm. where some new company is referred to as the Apple of whatever that market is.
Right.
And what a change from 10 years ago when you just wouldn't hear Apple referred to in that way unless it was bad.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we have a sponsor this week. I believe I mentioned that.
You did indeed.
And
we should talk about them.
I think we should. Our sponsor this week is Harry's, and they make razors. And at first you might think, razors? Why would Jeff want to talk about that? And it's because we all need to look nice. It's even if it's only upon occasion, like when we have to go to family events or something important for work, or we just want to look nice on a date, whatever it is. And so when I heard Harry's was sponsoring us, my first thought was, oh, this is going to be trouble for them, because I've been using safety razors for a long time. I gave up on the replaceable cartridge thing many years ago because they cost way too much and the quality is way too low. And so Harry sent me their Truman set, which has the razor handle, which is really nice, a couple replaceable blades, and a little travel cover for the razor and shaving cream and stuff. And the whole thing shows up, and I'm like, wow, this actually looks really nice. And then I went ahead and shaved with it, and I was very impressed. I even did a couple blind tests where I shaved one side of my face with the Harry's razor and the other side with my safety razor that I've been using for several years. And then I had my girlfriend touch my face and tell me which side was which, and she couldn't tell the difference. And that was the highest praise I could imagine, because what that meant was that the quality of the Harry's blades is so good that it performs on par with just other high-end products.
Nice.
And yes, and still they've been able to get that through the replaceable cartridges, and that's unheard of. I'd never experienced that before, so I was very impressed, and I'm actually really loving the Harry's razors. So if they were able to impress me, that means that they're going to be able to impress you too, because I'm a hard sell. But to make that an even more enticing offer, Harry's is giving all of our listeners a $5 discount off of their first purchase. So all you need to do is go to harrys.com, and that's harrys.com, and choose whatever it is that you want to buy, and use the code TDO, and you'll get $5 off.
Solid.
And, yeah, it's solid. And so like on the Truman set, which is what they sent me, that's only $15. So that's like getting a third off. Plus, they don't charge shipping.
Nice.
So, yeah. So if you're looking for an alternative to the razors you're using right now, take a look what Harry's has. It's going to cost you probably half of what you're paying in the store today. Plus, you don't pay shipping. They have a bunch of different packages you can choose from, and you're going to look fantastic. So
now those packages, they come with other items. It's not just a number of razors. There's other stuff that you can get from Harry's as well, right?
Yes, they have shaving creams and shaving lotions, and they also have I think some travel kits that you can get.
Super handy.
Yep, and. Yeah, anyhow, so they have a bunch of neat little things that you can check out. Plus, they have plans where they'll just send you stuff out based on how often you shave.
Nice.
So they have plans that cater to your needs, which is awesome.
Very cool.
So thank you very much to Harry's for being our sponsor this week. And head over to harrys.com and use the discount code TDO and get your $5 discount on your first order.
They sound like the apple of shaving.
I see what you did there. Okay. This has been kind of a ranty pants episode, so we might as well keep that going.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I wrote a piece this morning that I fear is going to get us all a bit ranty. And this is about the news that President Obama is actually in line with UK Prime Minister David Cameron's urge to make companies put a back door into their encrypted products,
mm-hmm.
so that governments can get in and decrypt and read emails and text messages and other private pieces of data without requiring us to hand over our passcodes.
Yeah, that sounds like shenanigans to me.
Balderdash.
Now, here's the thing is, to me, this would be a very concerning issue. Let me back up. To me, this is a very concerning issue, but I feel like we might have the advantage here Specifically, I might have the advantage here because Senator Ron Wyden is the senator from Oregon. He's my senator. And he actually understands the internet. He understands how things work. He knows he knows what it is that people actually want out of the internet, which is, you know, what we have and not, not any of the SOPA PIPA kind of stuff. And he really gets it. And it's a refreshing change because in my lifetime, I remember watching congressional hearings as a younger person and seeing someone up there, one of the senators who was conducting a hearing and listening to someone talk and kept leaning over and going, "Please speak into the machine." Couldn't call it a microphone, wasn't quite sure what the word was, just kept calling it the machine. So to go from that in my lifetime to somebody who actually does understand at least the basics of how the internet works, what it is that people want out of it, and can look ahead and see how all of this stuff could go terribly, terribly wrong, I really hope that he's kind of got our backs on this. And he's one of the people who has tried, he has a long history of standing up and saying, like, the data collection people are doing already is not cool, and that all of that bulk data collection should stop happening immediately, and on and on. So he has a long history on this, and I'm waiting just to see what his response is going to be. He was attending an event this morning, actually, here in Portland, so there's a good chance that later today we will hear something about this. And, you know, I'm going to call his office and talk to them about it and let them know how I feel, which is something everyone can do.
That's true. If your elected officials don't know your opinion, it's very difficult for them to represent your opinion.
And it's also on you to make sure they know it.
But here's why this matters. This is the important thing. The government can't have a backdoor to our encrypted data without the bad guys being able to also access that backdoor.
Right.
That's true. Well, once you've created a backdoor, it's available to everyone.
No one has it or everyone has it. We talked about this last week.
Well, it's not like the bad guys would automatically have it when the government had it. It's just the bad guys can look for it.
And no, once it exists, it's a thing they will have.
Reality shows us that the bad guys will find these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that drives me nuts about this is that we cannot have cybersecurity when anyone has a backdoor in it, be it the company, be it the government, be it anyone. Encryption is and must be universal for it to actually work. And this nonsense from David Cameron's office in the UK, this nonsense from the White House, this nonsense from the FBI, this nonsense from the DOJ is just that. It's nonsense. And it is appallingly ignorant, stupid, short-sighted, and wrong. And it's up to all of us to hold these people accountable.
And it's easy to do. You can send an email. Most senators are on Twitter, or at least their staffs are. You can give them a phone call. It's actually gotten easier. You know, it used to always be write your congressman, and then it was call your congressman. And there are so many ways that you can reach a congressman these days. You can talk to whoever you need to talk to, and it's the easiest it's ever been to get a hold of somebody.
And it's the message here is that you will vote on this issue and then you actually vote on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of these very, very important things. If we want to be free from criminal organizations being able to get at our devices, be able to get at our data, if we want to be free from terrorist organizations from getting at our devices and getting at our data, getting information and about us that could be exploited in some way for either profit or damage, then we have to be protected from everybody. This is not like – I'm not an anti-government person. I'm not averse to the fact that the governments all around the world have a job to protect their citizens. But protecting citizens in this case actually starts with cybersecurity.
Right.
And by creating this backdoor, that's a big weakness in that cybersecurity.
Yeah, it's just completely ridiculous, and that's let alone the realities of how any kind of governments always eventually go too far when they can do something. Let's take that off the table.
Yeah, yeah, and okay, Brian, I think you did an excellent job of voicing my feelings as well. Nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So please let your government representatives know how you feel about this push to take away our privacy and security by creating these back doors.
Pay attention and listen. If you think that if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to hide, you're wrong here, because you have stuff to hide from the bad guys. That's what's at issue. Pay attention and vote.
There you go.
And if you're in the United States and you do need to talk to someone about this issue, and maybe you're not sure who it was that actually got elected, or you know, maybe there's still a recount happening in your area, you can find everything you need at congress.gov. It will give you an easy way to enter your location. From there, it will give you the contact information for all the people who represent you in Washington, D.C. You can also take that information and go to the Sunlight Foundation's website and find out how big the check is that somebody wrote to them in order to get them to vote their way. And you can use that information as well. So go get active about what's happening in government. It matters to you. I promise.
I tweeted, here's Barack Obama wrong on politics, technology, and principle. Same thing I tweeted about David Cameron. Find that tweet and retweet it. Let people know. It's a link to Jeff's story.
Yes. Yes, please. It's important that we do what we can to protect ourselves, because once a privacy is lost, we can't get it back.
Basically, nope. No. It doesn't come back.
So stand up and do what you can to protect your privacy, and hopefully we can convince our government and the UK government that this is actually a really bad plan.
It's a terrible plan.
Terrible
plan. It's very easy to see why, because either no one has the key or everyone has the key. And everyone includes bad guys. Oh, bad guys aren't supposed to have it. There's a lot of things that bad guys aren't supposed to have and aren't supposed to do. That's what makes them bad guys. They're not supposed to kill people. They're not supposed to steal stuff. They're not supposed to anything. Because when they do, that makes them a bad guy. So, yeah, come on. Get with it.
All right. We are out of time. And there's so much
more
to say.
Brian may need to go lie down with a cool rag on his head after this show.
That's right. Yeah, Brian, if you're suffering from the vapors, don't worry. We'll get you to your fainting couch and put
you
in
your hand. I am no longer a friendly fella. That's all I'm saying.
Totally understandable. Well, I did establish this is the Ranty Pants episode.
It's true.
It is indeed.
So, Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Certainly.
And Brian, thank you for being here and speaking so eloquently for making my points very clear.
My pleasure in an abstract, removed kind of way.
Right. And thank you to Harry's for being our sponsor this week. Go get yourself a $5 discount on some amazingly great razors.
Yay,
and shaving cream and stuff. Use the discount code TDO at harrys.com. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.